Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to the 8th episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. For the last 8 weeks, if you have been listening to this program, you would have heard many beautiful melodies that used to be sung in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan in the 60s and 70s. We have Brother Srinivasulu, who had the opportunity to learn these bhajans from Mr. Mohan Rao, who had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan these beautiful compositions. This is our endeavor to enrich our repertoire of Sai bhajans by relishing these beautiful compositions that used to reverberate in the sanctum sanctorum of Prashanthi Nilayam in the yesteryears. The bhajan we are going to learn today goes like this.
Gopal Dayanidhi.
So this is the first line of the bhajan, and we will have Brother Srinivasulu, who will teach us this bhajan, sing for us very slowly the tune of this bhajan, first give the lyrics, and later on we will dwell on the raga of this bhajan, discuss the beat of the bhajan, and then you will listen to Mr. Sai Surendranath, one of the senior most members of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, sharing his reflections and interactions about bhajan singing, all those directions that he has received directly from Bhagwan in the last 4 decades. So let's get started now learning the lyrics of the bhajan.
Gopala Dayanidhe, Bala Gopala Dayanidhe, Sri Parti Krupanidhe, Sai Rama, Gopala Dayanidhe, Nanda Mukunda Govinda Nityananda, Gopala Dayanidhe. This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp Pancham.
With the lyrics clear, here is Brother Srinivasulu singing for us the lines of this bhajan. Brother Anirudh follows Brother Srinivasulu. Dear listeners, you too please join Anirudh and try to get a grasp of how this beautiful bhajan flows.
Gopala Dayanidhe,
Gopala Dayanidhe,
Bala Gopala Dayanidhe,
Bala Gopala Dayanidhe,
Sri Parti Kripanidhe Sai Rama,
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 Gopala Dayanidhe,
Gopala Dayanidhe,
Nanda Mukunda Govinda Nityananda,
Nanda Mukunda Govinda Nityananda,
Nanda Mukunda Govinda Nityananda,
Nanda Mukunda Govinda Nityananda.
So that's the lovely melody adoring the sweet little Lord Krishna. Brother Srinivasulu brought this bhajan alive from the yesteryears, and you had Brother Anirudh follow him after every line. So let's listen from Anirudh. What are his thoughts on this beautiful golden olden melody? So tell us, Anirudh, how did you feel singing this bhajan?
Saram Vishu, I was just in bliss when I heard the bhajan for the first time from Srinivasulu brother. For the music to touch a soul or someone, it is just the bhava which is given utmost importance. And if there are simple lyrics adoring Lord, praising Lord, given a beautiful tune and sung with lot of feeling, I think Swami will be more than happy to listen to the prayers and bless profusely. So, Gopala Dhyanide is one more bhajan adding to that sadhana through which we can pine for Swami. And coming to the musical aspect of this bhajan, it is beautifully composed in the rag called Jaunpuri. So, in the Hindustani classical music, it is Jaunpuri, or you also call it Jaunpuri in the Carnatic classical music. The beauty of the rag lies in some notes like Re, Sari Ma Pa Da Sa in the Aroha. So, you have the Sari Shudri Ma Pa Da Sa. Dha is Komal Dha. Sari Ma Pa Da Sa Da Sa Ni Da Pa Sa Ni Da Pa Ma Ga Re. So while coming back, it's like a darbari. Sa Ni Da Pa Ni is Komal Ni Da Pa Ma Ga Re Sa. Sari Ma Pa Da Sa Sa Ni Da Pa Ma Pa Da Pa Ga Re Ma Ma Pa Re Ta Ra Na Ra 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 Na 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 Ra Na 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 Ra Na Ra 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 Ra. Na So it is different from Darbari in the way in which the notes are sung, like Sari Ma Pa, not Sari Ga Ga Ma Ma Re. This makes it Darbari. And you have many compositions in this raga, kritis as well as semi-classical songs. One of them which just comes to my mind is, not exactly in this raga, this composition of Shri Kanakadasa in Kannada is a raga malika which has many ragas involved. One of the ragas used is Jaunpuri, and I would like to sing that part and show you how well the Jaunpuri is used. The starting of the song is like this.
Baro Krishnaya Ninna Bhaktaramane Ega Krishnaya Baro Krishnaya Vasa Udupili Nalayadi Keshavane Vasa Udupili Nalayadi Keshavane Vasa Udupili Nalayadi Keshavane Vasa Udupili Nalayadi Keshavane Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Ninna Pada Dasa Kanakanu Varaya Varo Krishnaya Ninna Bhaktaramane Ega Krishnaya Varo Krishnaya Varo Krishnaya Varo Krishnaya.
Oh, beautiful. I think this composition is so apt. So beautifully you have the raga demonstrated in this kriti.
And I think we must definitely have a special audio of this composition.
Oh, yes.
Adding to our archives and giving the listeners. We will do a separate session on this song, discussing the ragas. And once the special audio is done, we can even play that.
So let's get down to the details of this bhajan. Let's explore how Jaunpuri so beautifully manifests in our bhajan.
Sa sa re ni sa ni pa da sa.
Sa sa re ni sa ni pa da sa.
Bala gopala dayanidhi. Pada ni sa ga re ni sa ni pa da sa.
Pada ni sa ga re ni sa ni pa da sa.
Pasa sa 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 ri sa.
Pasa sa 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 ri sa.
Rima sa ni da pa.
Rima sa ga sa ni ri sa ni da pa.
Pasa sa 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 ri sa. Rima sa ga sa ni ri sa ni da pa.
Pasa sa 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 ri sa. Rima sa ga sa ni ri sa ni da pa.
Sa sa re ni sa ni pa da sa.
Sa sa re ni sa ni pa da sa.
Re 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 sa ni sa 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 ni re sa ni da pa.
Re 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 sa ni sa 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 ni re sa ni da pa.
The second time we have a variation.
Re 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 sa ni sa sa re ga ga re sa da pa.
Re 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 sa ni sa sa re ga ga re sa da pa.
Wow, the swaras are so exciting when you hear. Well, it sounds so intricate when you listen to the swaras.
And there are some interesting variations in this song, like
Shri Parti Kripa Nidhe Sai Rama.
So maybe we can first learn it slowly.
Sai Rama.
And then maybe sing with the beat.
Shri Parti Kripa Nidhe Sai Rama.
Because it's pretty fast. So maybe at the beginning stage of learning this bhajan, maybe we can sing it simpler also.
Shri Parti Kripa Nidhe Sai Rama.
And then slowly learn the variations.
Beautiful. I think that's a very useful tip. Any other bhajans that come to your mind based on this raga?
Based on Jaunpuri, the very start of this bhajan.
Sahara do Bhagavan, Sari Mama Padasa, Bhajo Madhura Harinam Nirantara, Bhajo Madhura Harinam.
And you also have
हे राम दूता हे राम भक्ता हे राम दासा नमो नमो.
All these bhajans sound similar and have a flavor of Jaunpuri in it, though they might be mixed with Darbari by just two or three notes here and there, according to the composer's idea.
Beautiful, they definitely sound so similar. So let's go on to the beat of the bhajan.
The beat of this bhajan is 8-beat, Aditalam in the Carnatic classical music, and Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. So let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Gopala Dayanidhe.
Gopala Dayanidhe.
ಬಾಲಗೋಪಾಲ ದಯಾನಿಧಿ.
ಬಾಲಗೋಪಾಲ ದಯಾನಿಧಿ.
ಶ್ರೀಪರ್ತಿ ಕೃಪಾ ನಿಧಿ ಸಾಯಿರಾಮ.
ಶ್ರೀಪರ್ತಿ ಕೃಪಾ ನಿಧಿ
Sai Rama.
Shri Parti Kripa Nidhe Sai Rama.
Shri Parti Kripa Nidhe Sai Rama.
Gopal Daya Nidhe.
Of course, I think this bhajan definitely needs a bit of practice.
Yeah, though it sounds simple, since it's a fast bhajan, so to sing those intricate curves in that beat, a couple of times we may have to sing simpler and then try the variations in case it's required. Otherwise, yeah, as we started the session, the whole bhajan session, what Swami says is the bhava.
And you can just sing it as simple as you can.
Yeah. So that people are able to follow, and that's what Swami sees, whether yes, follow is there or
absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam. So with that, we are done with the raga, the beat, the lyrics, all that is needed for us to deliver this bhajan. But the most important aspect that will enable that this bhajan becomes an offering at the lotus feet is the aspect of bhava, is the aspect of feeling how we deliver what has to be delivered. Mr. Sai Surendranath came to Bhagwan way back in the 60s and 70s. He has had many interactions with Bhagwan as a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. We now play for you an excerpt of a conversation with him where he shares the directions that he has received from Bhagwan about bhajan singing. Some things have not changed. They are written on stone as far as bhajan fundamentals are concerned. But if you see the evolution of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, you have had so many singers come and go. Generations of singers. What are those things that have changed? And what are those things that have not changed?
Not changed is the pattern, the style of rendering, the discipline that needs to be followed. I don't think anything is changing. It is only improving on what Swami set the standards. I don't see any change nowadays. I only feel that boys are putting their efforts and trying to improve the standards set by Bhagwan.
Wow.
If there is a change, take it from me, that will not be Sai Bhajans. It will never be Sai Bhajans. And you will not have that feel of Sai Bhajans.
Yeah. The core of Sai Bhajans has remained the same.
Remained the same.
It's just that you hear new voices.
New voices.
Melting into the same.
Same.
Resonance.
Size of the waves are different, but again ultimately goes to the same ocean.
Yes.
Absolutely there is.
And I think that is something so phenomenal when you think about it. A tradition which Bhagwan started way back in the 60s. And you know, we have completed nearly 60-70 years and the character of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajans has just remained same, just like Bhagwan is Nitya Nutana, is eternal.
Yeah, one thing what changed was, during our student time, we used to sing Alap before Bhajan.
Mm.
Almost suppose say 5 Bhajans are there, for half an hour 5 Bhajans are there. For 1 or 2 Bhajans, no, they used to sing Alap. That Alap will take few seconds or sometimes even a minute. And then we render the bhajan. That was a trend. It was like that earlier during my student time. Later on, what happened? The alaps are too long and too monotonous and sometimes some boys may not able to do justice. Then Swami said, during that time we can render one more bhajan.
Yes.
That time one more bhajan we can render rather than trying to, you know, improvise on the alap. So that is how slowly we cut down. But still, for some bhajans, Swami expects alap. One you must be knowing, Sri Raghavap.
Yes.
He loves.
Of course, but he asked for it on special occasions.
Special occasions, Sri Raghavap. Like that, there are 2-3 bhajans where Swami always asks, not everyone, he knows who can do justice, and he'll ask that X or Y or Z to do that job on that particular day.
But I think so, that's why a normal bhajan session does not have alaps, and those are exceptions when Bhagwan asked for an alap to be sung. And I think, as you very rightly mentioned and which Bhagwan said, is instead of spending so much time elaborating on the alapa one bhajan, if you can sing one more bhajan, that actually helps.
Touch some more hearts.
Yes, you touch some more hearts, and that will perhaps help someone else.
Yes, yes.
To connect with the Lord. Fantastic.
That is the only change. If you ask me what changes I felt during my student time and now, that is the only change I felt. But otherwise, some more changes, if you ask me, some more new compositions have added to the bhajan. But whenever you add any composition, we don't undermine the fundamentals of the thing what Swami laid down. We don't do that.
Of course, the duration of bhajans also has changed over time, isn't it?
Those days, 1 hour, minimum 1 hour bhajan.
1 hour bhajan?
1 hour bhajan.
In the evening?
Then slowly, slowly it became less like that. Because those days, Vedam chanting was not there. Vedam chanting started later.
Yeah.
During my student time, there was no Vedam chanting time allotted.
Vedam was chanted only on festival occasions.
Festival occasions. And that group of boys, they will do like that. Now only boys have got umpty number of opportunities. Pakavadyam is there, Nadaswaram is there, Vedam is there. You know, all that. Sometimes Bhangra dance also, they will. All that is added later on. That's why I said, fundamentals never changed, but boys always added the glory to it. Color to it. Festivity to it. More feeling to it. And gave more of joy for the people who assembled there. But the fundamentals always remain the same.
Wow. And in fact, it was always, I think towards the 80s and 90s, you had the morning bhajan session would be about 20, 30 minutes?
1 hour.
1 hour.
Always bhajan is 1 hour.
In the morning?
Yes, yes. 1 hour. The evening also 1 hour. Later on only slowly the time came down.
I think that is why after Bhagwan left his physical form also you had 1.5 hour session. It was what got standardized in the morning and evening. And we had more Vedam in the morning and more bhajans in the evening.
Swami used to come very early, no, those days. By the time we get ready and come to Mandir, there will be always a race between Swami and us. So we thought we will make 5 minutes early before Swami comes. Swami would have already taken the group for interview and he's already inside the interview room. And because Swami used to spend time, after that, a lot of time used to be there, no? So Swami used to call bhajan group or class-wise interview. So boys had a very good chance and very good access to Swami those days. And Swami used to spend a lot of time in the portico or inside bhajan hall chatting. And he used to talk about Mirabai, he used to talk about M.S. Subbalakshmi to the bhajan group. You know, he used to talk about Tyagaraja, he used to talk about Annamaya. How all these people in the medium of singing, they got the salvation, you know, the liberation. Yes. So like that, a lot of motivational talks and, you know, pep talks and changing the attitude of our boys and to render it in a better way. Swami has got his unique way and there is no one standard way. That's the beauty of Swami, you know. It's never, you know, monotonous style. He has got his own style and the style differs day to day. And the rendering differs day to day. And sometimes he's serious, sometimes he's jovial. Right?
Yes. It's tailor-made for every person.
Yes, yes. That's why we love to be in front of Swami hours together. Because, see, I'm talking so much, you may get bored and bugged. Enough of this.
Come on, sir.
No, generally, that feeling will come. But when you sit in front of Swami, whatever Swami talks, no, you will enjoy.
Yes.
There is always a moral value. Yes. There'll be a pun, you know. Yes. There'll be some lesson. There'll be a warning. There'll be a guidance.
Yes.
It may not be for all. For each one at their level, they will get it. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it.
Yes.
You don't know who is getting where, but it is delivered. Happily it is delivered and it reached where Swami wants it to be reached. It must have reached 100%.
I mean, here's the multidimensional phenomenon. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you can never predict the next second. So he is the most enigmatic personality on earth when he was in the physical form. How can you ever get bored? Because at every second you don't know what is going to happen.
Yeah. Really?
He's the most exciting person.
I have come across umpteen number of such situations. Because you asked me, suddenly I remembered one. One day, bhajan session was going on. I sit near the door and playing tabla. Swami had taken a group for interview. Interview got over. Swami came out. All the devotees came out. Swami went inside. Again, after some, Swami came outside, walked in the upper portico. And then he came closer to the threshold of the door there, outside, standing outside. Then I turned back and I saw Swami. And Swami looked at me and he told me, Repu ninchi nenu, darshanam yenu. Ide iroje last. From tomorrow onwards, I am not going to give darshan. Today, darshan is last.
Oh my God.
He told. I was playing. Bhajan is going on. I am playing tabla and he's whispering, looking at me so that nobody will hear. And he said, don't tell anybody. Keep it with you. This is the last darshan. From tomorrow onwards, I am not coming. I didn't know how to react. I was playing tabla and decided, oh, bhajan is going on. And he's bending and telling me like this. So I didn't know I have to stop and catch him or I should continue playing. I was in a dilemma. And he just told me that this is the last darshan and all that. Quickly, I went inside the interview room. And he told, keep it with you. Don't tell anybody. I was shocked. So emotional feeling. I don't know whether I should cry or I should hold on to Swami. Maybe Swami is expecting me to hold on to his feet and say, Swami, please don't do that. At the same time, Swami told me, keep it to yourself. So if I do that, it'll become public. So I didn't know. I was on crossroad. I didn't know what to do. After 5 minutes, Swami came, didn't look at me, straight went and sat on the bhajan hall throne. Bhajan over, he took aarti, he looked at me seriously and walked out. So I didn't know what to do. I went back to my room. I was sitting and feeling very dejected, crying, cannot disclose to anybody. Then I thought, okay, let me wait and see what happens tomorrow. If Swami comes tomorrow morning darshan, that means Swami must be joking with me. If Swami doesn't come tomorrow morning darshan we don't go, no, we go to college. If Swami is not coming in the morning, then Swami is serious about it. If Swami comes in the morning, then Swami is not serious about it. Maybe for our sake, Swami may not come in the evening. So maybe we have done some mistake. So introspection was going on. Is the mistake only with me or the entire hostel or all the boys, you know, like that. So I thought, okay, Swami said, keep quiet, I'll keep quiet and watch. Next day morning, I found out from Mandir people whether Swami came or not. He said, yeah, as usual, Swami came. Swami gave darshan and Swami took people for interview and all that. Then I have a lot of relief. Okay, Swami came. The next part is now Swami is going to come in the evening or not. If Swami is not going to come in the evening, then the message is for me and the boys or maybe like that. Swami doesn't want to look at our face. I was thinking that way. Swami came in the evening.
Oh.
Much before we went for darshan. He overtook us by half an hour.
Oh.
Okay? And he's already in the interview room. So anyway, we all sitting there. We know that Swami is inside the interview room and Swami will come. Interview got over. Swami came out. Straight he came to me, blasted me left and right.
Oh.
Buddhi ledu. Nenu evariki cheppavaddu ani chepte nuvvu andariki cheppavu. Adi enta serious avutundi neeku telusa. I told you not to tell anyone. And you went and told everybody. You never listen to Swami's word. You never maintain that. You go and tell everybody. You know how serious offense. You know people will commit suicide. I said, Swami, I never told him. Shut up.
Oh,
don't talk. Really, Swami. Really, Swami. You know, when you, best way, whenever Swami is angry, the best thing that you must do is, don't talk. Put your head down. But I want to tell that I really didn't do anything. So I told Swami, no, Swami. Shut up. Don't talk. Keep quiet. Swami, please, Swami. Don't. Me nor. And then Swami said, that is the difference between your devotion and devotee's devotion. It's a lesson for me, actually, that time. Swami said, if I am not coming for tomorrow darshan, you are thinking whether Swami will come or Swami will not come, what is my mistake, like that. Do you know, if Swami doesn't come for one day darshan, people will jump and commit suicide. They will give away their life even without a second thought. If they hear itself, that is the love of devotees for me. That is the commitment of devotees, love towards me and this physical form. Buddhi ledu, he told. And then he walked out. So it was a lesson to me. What is your devotion? What is the devotion of devotees? He wants to tell that if only Swami is not coming, if they hear itself, people are ready to give life. I am giving you so much of chance to all of you. Where are you? And so it's a big lesson. Okay, I understand that part. I understand. But why Swami picked me for that? What is that? What is the lesson for me? For what? Then my neighbor, those who are sitting, others, my friends, they are all trying to patch up. I say, okay, Sai, okay, no problem, no problem. I was crying. I told him, see man, I didn't tell anything. The thing is, how Swami came to know is, Swami, while shouting, he gave this statement. In the ladies' shed, ladies were whole night, they did not sleep, and they were disturbed. And they went to secretary and requested secretary, please pray Swami that he should come for tomorrow morning darshan. Why will I go to lady shed? Why will I so less on me nor me? Like that he was telling.
Keep quiet.
Keep quiet, he's telling. And finally, I looked at the boy who was sitting next to me. I said, see man, why will I go to lady shed? Yeah, why will I tell ladies man that Swami is not coming? After all, I should tell our boys why I should do that. Yeah. I don't know how this matter leaked, yeah. The fellow who was sitting next to me, I told my grandmother, yeah.
Oh,
I said, how
God.
You told your grandmother? I heard Swami telling you.
Oh my God.
After bhajan, usually I meet my grandmother. I told my grandmother, and my grandmother lives in the shed. So all that story what Swami told was, I was not aware of all these things.
Oh my God.
And I'm sincere, I never told anybody. He said, I'm very sorry. I didn't know it was so serious. Because of me, you got blasting. I said, damn it, you are Narada. You did something and I got into trouble. And then finally, I sat for some time and then I thought, God has different ways to teach different lessons to different people. Maybe that day as a prank, Swami must have picked me and then put this seed in my head and want to express to everybody, all the students, not only for me, for all the students that day in the bhajan hall, that if Swami doesn't come one day, if Swami misses one day, people are ready to give life. That is their love and commitment. Indirectly what it means, where are you? How much is your love? Come on, buck up. Correct? So it's a lesson. It's a lesson.
Wow, amazing. Just now we were discussing how multidimensional
Swami is.
Is he, you know, every time he says, every time he gestures something, which means so many things to so many people. And here, Bhagwan ensured that you get that lesson. And he knows that...
I'm not at fault. He knows that.
Yeah, he knows that you're not at fault. At the same time, he created a situation so that you'll get the first-hand experience.
Yeah.
Because that news sort of, thanks to his divine intervention, leaked. And you saw the response of the ladies there.
Ladies.
So it was not whatever Bhagwan was saying, it was substantiated by what happened there.
Yes. Really.
And at the same time, the message to the other person who's sitting next to you, that when something is told to someone, it is for him.
Hmm.
It is not for anyone
Everybody
else.
Everybody to take it.
To take it. Hmm. I think a message, when it is specifically given to someone, it is specifically only for him. It is not.
He also learns lesson.
Yeah, he also learns that lesson.
And globally there is a lesson. What
yes.
is that?
Yes.
You know about my love.
Yes.
You understand my love. My love is universal.
Yes.
People can do anything for the sake of Swami. They are ready to give even life. That's a global lesson.
Absolutely. Because he reprimanded you so strongly in front of all the boys, everyone came to know what happened.
What happened?
So at that point in time, he wanted to convey the message through you to everyone. I mean, through that episode. Wow.
That's why I always consider Swami is dearly divine mother. After all that thing, no? Then the next day, the amount of love that he showered, as if nothing has happened. Really, I'm telling.
Yeah.
As if nothing has happened, there is no conversation and he never shouted at me.
Yes.
You know, like that. I was feeling guilty the next day also. But Swami came and stood in front of me, started joking and all that, as if nothing has happened the previous day.
Because if for nothing he has reprimanded you, for nothing he will shower you love four times more.
The more is given, the more will be demanded.
Yes.
You can't get everything free of cost.
But when we think about Swami, you tend to think that, you know, what you have received, you have done really nothing to receive what you have received. He just gives. He really looks for that one little good thing if you have done and gives.
Yeah.
Multiplies that and gives. Beautiful. Thank you so much, sir, for sharing this beautiful anecdote. I think this is such a profound message for all of us. If we say Swami's devotees, you know, can we live a moment without Swami?
Yes.
Can we live a day without singing his bhajans? Will we become lifeless if his thought goes out of our mind? Will our existence have no meaning if we cannot attend a bhajan session? I think these are the questions that we really need to ask
And that is what Bhagwan was conveying when he was there in the physical form. And this is something for us to reflect on.
Absolutely.
Before we end, can you think about one or two bhajans which Bhagwan used to enjoy in those days? You know, when I mentioned vintage bhajan classroom, which bhajans come to your mind?
I have observed Swami, whenever he talks about Rama, he goes into a different plane. Whenever he talks about Krishna, he becomes very mischievous. And I've always, all his discourse on Krishna, you can observe that he becomes Krishna.
Yes.
You can feel as if that is Sai Krishna standing in front of you. I don't know, maybe that's a recent avatar of, you know, Kali Yuga, yes. Dwapara Yuga is very close, you know. Yes, so maybe yes. he still feels Krishna in him. And whenever he talks about Krishna or Radha or Yashoda or Gopikas, Swami just involves himself totally. And when Swami sings bhajan, He Giridhara Gopala, He Giridhara Gopala, He Giridhara Gopala. This song, I've heard any number of times Swami singing. No one else can do justice. Even when our boys try also. That feel, that style, that emotional level, it just cannot be matched. And he just enjoys. And in that, there are two charanam comes in between. One sloka
yes.
will come.
Yes.
And then after that, just like a little Krishna, hey, giri dara. You know, you can see him enjoying.
Yes. Yes.
Every time when Swami sings that song, we feel we are one with him. I can never forget such bhajans. Similarly, Chitta Chora Yashoda Kebal. When Swami sings, you can see his eye movements, his facial expression, that like that, Chitta Chora, like that.
Mm.
Amazing. I think he becomes Krishna when he...
He just steals your heart. Chitta Chora.
That's all. He steals your heart. And you are lost. Yes. You are 100% you are lost. I think these are things which I can never forget. And when I hear that again and again, I get elevated to a different, not only me, I'm sure all the listeners or all the people, if you have the opportunity, you can listen to that song. The way Swami stresses on the word and,
yes.
you know, pronounces the word and he gives the punch for the line.
Yes.
Just amazing, amazing.
Wonderful.
Some of these versions, nobody can do justice. He is the best. That's all it is.
Wow. Thank you very much, sir, for taking time out and going down the memory lane and picking for us precious pearls, moments of precious proximity that you had with Bhagwan. These are really priceless for all of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prushti. You also gave me the opportunity to rewind my life and relive those beautiful moments with our Divine Lord. Thank you very much. Thank you, listeners. Sairam.
Sairam.
May God bless you all.
That was Mr. Sai Surendranath, one of the senior most alumni of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and the most experienced member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. With that, it's time to move on to listen to the complete version of this bhajan. How does it sound when we sing it as a bhajan session with following beat and accompanying instruments?
Gopala Dayani.
Brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Dear listeners, in this first batch of this program, we decided to do 9 bhajans, so there's one more. And with that, we would have completed the first installment of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Do tell us what you feel about this program. Share with us your feedback, your comments, your requests. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and humility, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet. So it's time to now move on to the next segment, Shravanam Mananam Nityasanam. You will hear Brother Prem and Harishankar conduct this session, and I will be back. I am Team Radio Sai Bishu for a new episode of Vahini Satsang after Shravanam Mananam Nityasanam. Keep listening. Thank you so much. Sairam.